Christian Crusaders welcomes you to our weekly radio ministry. Our service today will be conducted by the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Information on how to order tapes or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the end of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
It appears that the voice of authority becomes more and more silent in a culture that stresses individual rights with no absolute rights or wrongs. Is this going to have a serious effect on our land? We'll talk about that in a sermon today. I open our service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. God in heaven, we thank you that in your word you have spoken to us in such specific manner. We thank you that the great truths are revealed there very clearly, that we and our sin can be redeemed in the person of Jesus Christ. So, Lord, as we open that word again today, we pray that we may hear that voice speaking to us. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the first chapter of the Gospel of St. Mark, beginning at verse 21. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching, because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law who generally came. Just then a man in their synagogue, who was possessed by an evil spirit, cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly. "Come out of him." The evil spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching, and with authority? He even gives orders to evil spirits, and they obey him." News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. The Gospel for this day.
Amen.
Friends in Christ, this has been a very difficult sermon to prepare. And when I'm done, you might say, it was not very easy for us to listen to either. The question could be asked, why? It's a very simple text. It doesn't take a lot of interpretation to see what was going on there. The problem is that it deals with a very unpopular subject, and that is the whole matter of authority. The voice of authority, I believe, becomes more and more silent in a culture that stresses individual rights and where there are no absolute rights and wrongs. It is into this particular culture that our Lord Jesus Christ speaks today. He's at the beginning of his ministry, and he presents himself as the voice of authority. Jesus has gone into the synagogue at Capernaum. Now, that was a very logical place for him to go as he was beginning his ministry, because there he would have an opportunity to talk to many people. The synagogue service consisted of three things. There was prayer, the reading of the scripture, and then the exposition. Our Lord Jesus read the scriptures that day and expounded on them. When he got done, they began to make comparisons of Jesus' teaching and that of others who had spoken there from week to week. The majority of their speakers, without a doubt, were respected men. They had been able to quote from the authorities on the subject that they were talking to the group about. Jesus did no quoting, but rather he stands there as the authority himself. I have something that I want to say to you, and here it is. I'm sure that there were some real differences of opinion regarding what he had to say. Maybe there was someone who said, well, he's young, he'll grow up, and then perhaps he'll be a pretty good teacher. But others of them might have been a bit more hostile and wondered what kind of a religion he was trying to start or how he was trying to contaminate their own religion, and was he really a heretic? Now, the question that is unanswered is, what were the subjects that he dealt with there in Capernaum in the synagogue on that particular Sabbath day? And the answer is, we don't know. But I wonder, if for our purpose here today, if it would not be possible for us to go over some of the great teachings where Jesus comes forth as a great authority, and then see if it could not have been something like this that he talked about. At least it is the authoritative voice of God, found not only in the Gospels, but throughout the whole Word of God, that talks to men and women today in an age where authority is really being played down. Here's one. You remember the time when a man was brought to our Lord Jesus by the name of Nicodemus. Now, Nicodemus, it's recorded in the third chapter of the Gospel of John, says to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a great teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him. In reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. Then later on, he says to Nicodemus, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. In other words, this man really wanted to know, who are those in the kingdom of God? And according to you, how do they get there? Well, where Nicodemus came from, you were physically born into the kingdom. If you were a child of Abraham, then you were a part of the kingdom of God automatically. That was not the case as far as Jesus' teaching was concerned. You had to be born again. That means that you had to repent of your sins, and you had to turn to Jesus Christ, to himself, the one who is speaking this, to whom you could have the forgiveness of your sins, and when that forgiveness was yours, then you were restored into fellowship with God, and salvation was yours forever. But it was by grace through faith in Jesus Christ and not by any works that you have done yourself. Now, that's a very, very dogmatic teaching. There is a voice of authority there. Jesus is coming forth in the entire New Testament and saying, I am the way. I am not a way. I am the way. Maybe it's a statement like this that is hard for us to preach and to listen to because we know that it is so contrary to what goes on in our culture today. We don't like to irritate people. We don't like to be oddballs, so to speak. We want to go along nicely with the crowd if we can. But suddenly here Jesus comes with this great dogmatic statement, there is only one way, and I am the way. So you can say, well, isn't he a bit dogmatic? What right does he have to this? See, that's why it's hard to listen to a sermon like this, perhaps. And let me say that sometimes it can be a little bit difficult to have to preach it. But you must expound the Word of God. You must remain true to what it has to say. And that's why the message comes forth at this time. Let's take another one that Jesus could have talked to them about in the synagogue that day. And that is, what's going on in your family? What kind of a relationship do you have in your home? Who do you marry? Well, the Word of God makes that pretty clear. St. Paul, writing to the Corinthian church, chapter 6, verse 14 says, "Do not be yoked together with unbelievers." Now, what does that mean? Well, it means that here is Mary who has fallen deadly in love with a handsome young man. He comes from a prestigious family. There is plenty of money. He is well educated. He can well take care of them. The only problem is that Mary's fiance is an unbeliever. He does not believe that Jesus Christ is his Savior. Now, what is he supposed to do? The voice of authority and the Word of God says, don't be equally yoked with unbelievers. What do you do? That becomes extremely irritating for a person living in a culture where authority is being tuned down and tuned out on a regular basis. Are you telling me who I can marry? No, I'm not. But the Word of God is. Is the Word of God telling me? Well, then blot that part out of the Word of God. See, there is the authoritative voice of God. Let's say that you're married, and like any married couple, you from time to time, because of your different personalities, will not always agree on everything. So the question is, what do we do about it? A man told me here some time ago that when he and his wife have a real argument, the way that she tries to bring him to her knees, and it could just as well be the other way around, is that she did not talk to him for 3 days. They would live in the same house. They would raise the children during those 3 days. They would sit at the same table and eat, but there was no conversation between husband and wife for that period of 3 days. And he went on to say that sometimes it was absolutely necessary for him to communicate to his wife through the children, and she communicated to him that way. Can you imagine what those children were going through? Can you imagine what serious harm they could be doing to their own personalities? Now, God has a word for that. And if you turn, for example, to the fourth chapter of Paul's letter to the Ephesians, verse 26, you have that verse. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. That's a voice of authority. So God is saying to you and to me, look, I don't want you to go to bed at night angry. I am thoroughly convinced after years of counseling with people on marriage difficulties that there would be far fewer divorces if we could have everything settled by the time that we went to sleep at night. Here's another one. The writer of the book of Proverbs says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. What is some of that training? Well, let me just give you one particular portion of God's holy word. It's the old commandment. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God has given to you. In other words, a father and a mother should raise their children so that they understand what authority really is. That when mother and dad speak in love, obviously, that they will know that is a voice of authority. That's it. When the teenager says, when do I have to come in? And mom and dad says, make it 11 o'clock or 12 o'clock. That's the voice of authority. Not to be questioned. How does that go down in an age such as ours where we're trying to shut off the voice of authority? You know, I don't like to talk about the good old days because I don't know how true that really is. But I want you to know, friend, that I think there was something that was done right many years ago that is not being done so today. And that is that we have taken away from our school teachers a voice of authority. When I was in the early primary grades, I had a school teacher who at the beginning of the school year said, now we're going to have a good time together. And we're going to learn some things. But if you are out of order, if you're not obeying what I have to say, then there might have to come some discipline because we have got to have order in this classroom. I will never forget that teacher, one of the finest teachers that I've ever had in my life. But you know what she had? She had a weapon. And the weapon was a hose. And the hose was split down the center about 6 inches, I guess. And she reminded us that if we ever became too disobedient, she would have to take us out in the hall and give us 3 slaps on each hand. I recall the day when one of my very best friends had been told again and again not to whisper, and he continued to whisper, and so this lady said, okay, Bob, you come with me. And when Bob came back from being out in the hall with that particular teacher, there were tears in his eyes. At recess, some of us said, what did she do, Bob? He said, she slapped me on the hand just exactly like she said she would do. There was another discipline in that particular school. If the school teacher could not take care of us, and if the holes were not enough, then you were sent to the principal. That didn't happen very often. I can only recall once that anybody in our class had to go to the principal's office, but she had a little whip. And there she would take and whip the person 3 times on each leg. I don't know if that method was the right one. I would vote against it. I don't believe in that kind of discipline. But there needs to be some kind of a discipline. Just to take away that particular kind, ruthless and cruel as perhaps it really was, we say no discipline. Why? Well, if a teacher did that today, you know good and well that she would not only be fired, but she would be sued and probably in prison for what she had done. Somewhere along the way, that child, according to the word of God, honor your father and your mother, and that means all those who are in authority over you, that child has to be taught there must be respect for that individual. But when those things begin to happen and when the word of God begins to address this whole issue, that you ought to discipline those children and you ought to respect them and love them, but let them know that when you speak, you speak. They say, who are you to tell me what to go on in our home? And it is not for another human being to tell, but it is for the Word of God to tell. Our impression of the authoritative voice is often wrong. We think that it takes away some of our freedom. Such is really not the case. It only takes away that which can make life really bad for us. For obedience and discipline and authority is what gives me security and peace and hope. Just think what we get from God if He is the authority over us. Then I begin to learn from God that my government, I can try to change it, but as long as it's my government, it is God's authority. And that's what Paul writes in the 13th chapter of Romans. And I am to respect those who are in authority over me. Then I learn that by and large, a policeman will not harm me if I do no wrong. For according to St. Paul, he is God's servant to do you good. One of the greatest blessings that we can have is a happy marriage. But one of Satan's greatest curses to us is a home where fighting goes on continually. If we have been mated with a person who believes in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, then think of the blessings that can come to us, my friend. Think of the security that can be ours when we have a partner to walk through life with forever as far as this life is concerned here. Marvelous, isn't it? But how awful if we have denounced all kinds of authority and find someone that we are not in agreement with as far as our relationship with God is concerned. Think of the security that you can have when Jesus says your sins are forgiven. For that was an announcement that was made by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who speaks with authority. When they left the synagogues that day in Capernaum, they knew that something different had happened. They questioned whether it was a new teaching and where he got his authority from. My prayer is, friend, that this will not just be another service, but that in the course of the time that the Word of God is spoken, something has happened, and we will begin to understand the importance of authority if we are going to live rich and orderly lives to the glory of God. Amen.
Blessed be
Father in heaven, we thank you that you have loved us so much, that you have spoken so clearly to us in your holy word. Grant, O God, that we may have the strength and the grace to trust you, to believe that word, and by the power of the Holy Spirit to walk accordingly. Lord, we know that without that authority, life can be very chaotic. With that authoritative voice that says that our sins are forgiven, and we have been restored into fellowship with God, we have no assurance as far as the future is concerned. So thanks, God, for that word, that final word that has come from you, recorded for us in the Scriptures. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We thank each of our listeners for the financial gifts that you send that support our ministry. Your gifts enable us to buy radio time on 23 stations across the nation to share this worship service. Christian Crusaders publishes a quarterly newsletter called The Crusader. Pastor Larson writes the feature article for each issue. If you would like to receive this newsletter free of charge, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484, Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Central Standard Time. You may leave a message on voicemail at any time. You will also receive letters from Pastor Larson at Easter, Christmas, and on our anniversary in September. Cassette tapes or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of $2.50 will help defray mailing and production costs. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free phone number, 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 266-7589. Christian Crusaders invites you to find out more about our ministry on the Internet. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's Christian Crusaders, all one word, .org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and radio pastor of Christian Crusaders for the past 38 years.